O God, we pray that you would minister to us now. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we are present with you, lifted up into the life of God by our union with Christ, filled with your Spirit. We fellowship with you, Lord, and your word is so rich to us. It's your word, Lord, so please open it to us. Help us to share fellowship with you now, Lord, as we come to understand your word better, understand how to live in your world more fruitfully. We pray this in your name. Amen. So we're looking at Acts chapter 12 together now. As we go through Acts, we've arrived at this passage, which is headed in our NIV, Peter's Miraculous Escape from Prison, which is such an appropriate title for it. We see in Acts chapter 11 that persecution has spread. Chapter 11, verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So the context is such that there's blessing, and some are believing, but there's also persecution as well, and the church is being scattered. And this is the time at which Peter finds himself opposed by King Herod and thrown into prison. Verse 12 of chapter 12, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with the approval of the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. Peter is one of those who is suffering for his faith. In Hebrews 11, we're told of all the great saints that had been persecuted through the ages. And it ends with that great statement, the world was not worthy of them, because they're suffering for the Lord God. And my first point, really, as we look at this passage, is that in the persecution of Peter, history is repeating itself. The devil has always sought to persecute God's people by having them thrown into prison. James, we're told in verse 2, the brother of John, died, and yet the Lord decided that Peter would spend time in prison for his name. Sometimes believers are called to lay down their life for the gospel. It's a high calling. It's one that so many of us in the West can't imagine. And sometimes they're called to be imprisoned for the gospel, as was the case with Peter. The world is not worthy of these people. As they suffer for Jesus, they're doing a very honourable and noble thing. He sustains them, but it's something that we can scarcely imagine ourselves. History repeats itself. So often Christians are persecuted for the sake of Jesus. So who was this Herod? Well, he was a clever diplomat, and we know that he sought the approval among the Jews, verse 3. That's borne out in the writings of Josephus of the time, a Jewish historian. He courted the Romans and he courted the Jews, but he was no friend of Christians. Indeed, he persecuted them. And I guess really he had his own desire to be in power and to further his own career. This King Herod that we meet here in verse 1, he is Herod Agrippa the First. You probably know that there was a Herodian dynasty. So his grandfather was the Herod that had the babies put to death around the time of Jesus' birth. And now his grandson, Herod Agrippa the First, he's the one in power. He was placed in power by the Romans and he was keen to hang on to it. But we see this sense of him seeking approval of the Jews. He's mindful, as we see in verse 4, of the Jewish Passover. He doesn't want to do anything during that, so he waits to bring Peter to trial until after Passover. But these leaderships such as Herod's, they come and they go. Because just after our reading, we're told in verses 90 and following that Herod died. There's quite an unusual reason given for that. We're told in verse 22 that he failed to glorify God and so was struck down. But this biblical account here, although it might seem a little strange, it actually coheres again with Josephus's account of what happened to Herod Agrippa, that he was being worshipped by a whole group of people in a Roman court, and he failed to give glory to God, and he was struck down. It just reminds us, whatever the circumstances, that these powerful people, they enter the world stage for a while, and then they go. Their kingdom isn't forever. And the story of their persecution of the church is one that repeats again and again. We think of Afghanistan at the moment. The Taliban have moved right across the country. They've taken Kabul again. And this is what one Afghan believer said. He said, "How we survive daily, only God knows. He knows because he's been kind to dwell with us, but we're tired of all the death around us." And we'll be praying for them a little bit later. I thought we'd pray for them at the end of this talk, but Christians have been consistently persecuted. In Open Doors, the charity supporting persecuted Christians has a world ranking for countries where it's most difficult to be a Christian, where the persecution is most intense. North Korea is the very worst place to be a Christian at the moment, followed by Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Eritrea, Yemen, Iran, Nigeria, the list goes on and on. And yet, when this happens, the church isn't surprised, and the church experiences many difficulties that we can scarcely imagine, but yet is sustained by the Lord God. And we see that it's the same in verse 5, because history repeats. That's my first point. But secondly, the church prays, and we see this in verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Wow, the church was earnestly praying to God for him. I want to isolate each of these words. Peter was kept in prison, but the church didn't abandon him. The church didn't throw their hands up in despair. No, but God interjected through his people and was able to get them to do something amazing, which was to pray. Prayer works. It's what we should turn to in every difficult situation, every trial, every catastrophe, and as evil regimes do their work. So there's that but word. Peter in prison, but Herod wasn't totally going to get his way because the church would rise up in prayer. Herod couldn't stop the church. And we're told in Ephesians 4 verse 10 that the church is God's means for showing that he is the glorious king of the universe. Just let me reread to you from Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10. His intent, that's God, his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, this is the spiritual forces that seek to stand against the Lord Jesus. God's intent was that through the church, through seeing the church persevere and the glory of Jesus that is in the church, those authorities should know that they're defeated and that God's wisdom should be vindicated and be seen to be right. So the church prays, and we're told they earnestly pray. So they don't just pray for a time and then forget. No, the word earnest, I looked it up, it means that they prayed with intense conviction and belief. And who did they pray to? They prayed to God. You see, in every trouble, it's God that we go to. When you experience something difficult, I might be able to help you for a time, but ultimately it's God that you must go to. And that is always the case. And the persecuted church knows that it's God that they seek and that it's God who will help them. So the church prays to him. He is the sovereign king. When we experience a difficulty as a church, we go to him and we ask him. And it's why there are many important ministries in the church, but the ministry of prayer is the most important ministry that our church has. Josh Manley is a minister in the United Arab Emirates, and he says that he's been texted by and contacted by many pastors and Christians in Afghanistan, and this is what he says. I'll quote him. "Every church leader who has emailed or texted me," this is from Afghanistan, "has asked that we would pray for the Lord to strengthen them in their faith, that they should stand strong in the Lord, who is the sovereign King. Isn't that humbling? These brothers and sisters know, even though they're having to go into hiding now, that it is God who helps them. He is the sovereign King. And really, that's the message of verse 5. They prayed earnestly to God. So history repeats itself, but the church knows what to do. The church prays. And thirdly, God acts, verses 6 and following. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. This is just one man. What can he do? They have such a fear of this believer, they have to have him chained. I don't know if I could sleep in prison, but he sleeps. This is a godly man. And an angel appears. Light shines all around. And the angel instructs him, says, get up. God is able to speak to those in prison. He's able to inspire them and to help them when they're in prison for Christ. And the chains fell off Peter's wrist. You see, the barbed wire is no boundary to God. It can't keep him out. Chains aren't able to restrain his people if he speaks, and they have to be removed. And the angel speaks to him, leads him out into the street after telling him to put his sandals on, leads him to safety through gates and doors which just open, and he's able to go free. God is able to act. And there are many accounts of this. In China, we have accounts in the book of the Heavenly Man of people that were literally led out of prison. Doors opened for them. Christians were led out. But it must be said also some were not. In God's wisdom and God's timing, others were called to stay in that situation and to testify to him. But Josh Manley, this pastor from the UAE, goes on and he says that those who've contacted him in Afghanistan have asked for prayer for three things: physical protection and provision, spiritual provision, and gospel advance. Isn't that heartening? They know that it's God who can help them, it's God who they need, and they want God to do spiritual things through their hardship. We must pray that we would have a heart like that and that we wouldn't fall away under opposition, because that's a possibility as well. So we'll know to pray those things for them when we return in prayer at the end of this talk. And Peter, when he came to himself, verse 11, said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches, from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." He knows to give glory to God, unlike Herod. Herod, who has everything, doesn't know to give glory to God. The man who is in prison for his faith knows to give glory to God. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary. Peter went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Were they praying for Peter at that very moment? Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. Isn't it brilliant? She answers the door and then she closes the door in his face in her excitement, and she goes off. Have you ever done that? Left the Amazon man at the door, or a more important guest, and gone off to announce their arrival, leaving them on the doorstep? I love the human element to this story that just adds veracity and truthfulness to it. She leaves him on the doorstep and then eventually remembers to let him in. What joy that there was as they were able to welcome him in and see all that God had done. Now, this John, also called Mark, who's mentioned there, another sort of historical footnote on this, probably he's Mark, the gospel writer. We don't know for sure, but that's what most people think. And he's the Mark who accompanied Paul on occasions and is mentioned in the missionary journeys as well. And interestingly, Papias, who was a church leader in living between AD 60 and 140, he was a church leader who tells us on good authority that Mark was the interpreter of Peter. That he, in his gospel, had interviewed Peter and was able to convey Peter's memories about the Lord into his gospel. So Papias has a good bit to say on him, and Papias was a bishop in what we now know of as Turkey. But this house church, in the house of Mary, the mother of John, is praying, and we should again take note of that. Acts 2 verses 42 to 47 says that they gave themselves to prayer. So she's overjoyed, this servant girl, and she says that Peter is at the door. Of course, they can't imagine it, but it's true. Verse 15, she kept on insisting it. They think it's his angel, but no, it's Peter in the flesh, the real deal. And he says, tell James and the other brothers and the sisters about this. And then he leaves for another place. And of course, Herod is ruthless. He's not going to stand for this embarrassment of this apostle being set free. So he has his guards executed, verse 19, an utterly ruthless man. Now, as I've said, all too often history is repeated and the church is persecuted. We're not surprised by that. But the church prays, and that's what we must do, going to the sovereign God. It's God's intent that even to the principalities and powers and the evil principalities and powers that stand against him, that through the church God's glory should be seen. Listen to this from an Iranian church, about the Iranian church. Secret churches are often raided, and their leaders and members have been arrested, are often arrested, given long prison sentences for crimes against national security. All kinds of claims are made against believers. Sometimes it's fabricated that they're bad for the nation and they're an evil to society. Sometimes it's claimed that they're mentally ill and believers are put into hospitals and not allowed to leave. Whatever the situation, there's so much that we can pray for the church today. And I'm going to suggest that we do that. Just like the church prayed in Peter's day and God acted, that we would pray now. Maybe he will cause people in Afghanistan to be freed, or maybe there will be a time of greater suffering. We pray not. But we don't know. But we know what we can pray for physical protection. They've asked for that, spiritual provision, and gospel advance. And we can be confident that our sovereign Lord will act. We can be confident. And we know in Acts that as Peter was released from prison, he went and he shared the gospel. And the gospel, in fact, spread. When things were hard, the gospel spread. So, we're going to pray now in light of this. Our loving Heavenly Father, we're humbled by this story in the scriptures, and we're thankful to you that Peter, when he was released from prison, went on preaching. He was bold. He wasn't held back by what happened to him. Thank you that evil regimes always fall, and yet your kingdom is forever. And thank you that Herod didn't give glory to God and was judged for that, but Peter did give glory to God for God getting him out of prison and enabling him to preach the gospel, and many came to faith through him. Thank you for his witness. Thank you for the church that prayed. And Lord, we want to pray for the church today, particularly in Afghanistan, mindful of the current turmoil there. We pray, Lord, that you would give physical protection to church leaders and to Christians. We know that some are hiding in very difficult circumstances. We pray that you protect them from the Taliban. We pray that you would give them spiritual provision and nourish them when leaders are separated from congregations, that those congregations would be able to be spiritually fed. Sustain them, help them to know that you are on their side, Lord, when everyone is against them. And help us, the Western Church, to stand with them. And they pray for gospel advance as well, Lord. Would even members of the Taliban be saved, we pray. Lord, we pray that there would be stories of wonderful things happening amongst amongst these militants. And we pray for North Korea as well, pray that the gospel would flourish there. And for Iran, which is always close to our heart, praying the gospel would flourish there, and Nigeria. Thank you, Lord God, that you are sovereign and you will win glory to yourself. Thank you that you will act in ways that you see fit. Please, Lord, have mercy and do this, we pray. Lord, as history so often repeats itself, would we, the church, pray, and would you act as you've done so often before? And we pray this in the mighty and precious name of Jesus our King. Amen.